Now I thought for our meditation this morning that I would speak about this question of sin. Our Lord says here, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And the big question is sin. That's the major question. It's sin that's brought us into our misery. It's sin that's brought death upon us. And it's sin that we have to get rid of. And we get the pardon of that sin and the deliverance from that sin in the death of Christ and in the glorious message of redemption. Now, as you know, we were in Palestine, in Jerusalem, and we were in Bethlehem, and it's only 4 miles between the two cities. And here Christ was born in Bethlehem, and the shepherds came in from the field. And here was Jerusalem with the temple in it where most of His ministry centered. Here He was tried. He was hung on a cross just outside the wall, buried in a tomb not more than 100 yards away. And then He went over to the top of the mountain, which is nearby, and rose to heaven. And here, within an area of 5 or 6 miles at the most, you have the birth, the main ministry, His rejection, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, all of that. And He did it in order that He might deliver us from death and from sin, that He might deliver us from it. And our problem everywhere we go in the world right now is that the sin is gathering tremendous momentum on every hand, and the forces of righteousness and those who would preach the gospel are just dying out. In India, you can't get missionaries in anymore. Here in our own country, our churches are dead and they're empty and they're struggling and the world is pressing in and crime is multiplying. And here we are. And we have the answer to it. We have the answer in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I saw the evening paper last night here in our area, and they had a big column on the front page, a lengthy story. I read it, in which they're now advocating that we eliminate from the realm of crime all of these offenses that are victimless. Any crime that doesn't have a victim, well, let's drop it. One of those is drunkenness. We'll eliminate all drunkenness now as a crime. Public drunkenness will no longer be an offense anywhere. Also, this whole question of harlotry and the adulteries and the consenting parties to tearing down the marriage standards and homosexuality with consenting parties where there's no victim involved. Let's get rid of all these. We'll scratch them off the books, and the courts can concern themselves with what they call the major crimes. And we'll get rid of the lesser crimes, which are victimless. Now, that's what we were presented with last evening. And the churches of the area ought to rise in holy horror against any such thought as that. Because there is no such thing as a victimless crime. It just doesn't exist. Somebody's the victim, even if the person's the victim. And society has to be responsible for life. And for these matters. But we're tearing down. There are no moral standards anymore. We just got a lot of crime. We got a lot of gambling. We got all these things. We can't keep up with it. It's getting too expensive. So what we'll do is just drop it. And then you'll have drunks all over the place. And then you'll have all these crimes. And you'll have the tearing down of the homes and the standards that have been protected. And here sin and crime were once related. Now sin and crime are not related, because there is no moral law any longer by which we govern or direct our conduct. And we're living in the midst of this terrific breakdown right now. And every Christian will see what's happening to us, and how the moral breakdown is costing us money, how the moral breakdown is bringing in all this police, how the moral breakdown is causing all these attempts to get at it, when the real solution is to preach the gospel. When the real solution is that we get busy with our activities and all our endeavors and seek to reach these people. These homes are breaking down and the families are going to pieces and all these things are happening simply because the Word of God, which should have free course and which should be this power working in our midst and which the state has no control over. Now, this is the challenge that we have. And you and I come to a communion service and we ask God to forgive us of our sins. And He does, and He will. But the message that brought us to this communion table is a message that can also change the crime situation. It can change the dope situation. It can change the drunkards on the streets. It can do it. And it was this in the last century, it's this in times past that God used by the grace of God, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is no replacement, there is no substitute for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why when we come to an hour like this, and here we have a great church in the center here with all sorts of challenges and needs and opportunities, and we're under great assault, as you all know. This church and our people in this church, we should say, God, forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for not doing these things. This is our country. This is our land. This is where we live. This is where we have a responsibility to speak and to witness and to pray that God will undertake for us. $160 million. I could use a little of that for Shelton College. Sure. If it didn't take it away from the people, we'd be able to do these things. We'd be able to take care of these things. And we've got a crisis in crime and breakdown of morality because the church has fallen out from under our society. We've just fallen out from under it. I read last night that in the First Methodist Church over here in Germantown this coming Saturday, they're going to have a big conference among the preachers, and they're going to discuss the question as to how they can legalize heroin. First Methodist Church of Germantown, they're going to have them all in there, and they say we've got to legalize it so we can have heroin available in a legal way, and if we do that, that will cut the crime. How in the world can preachers get so mixed up and so fouled up? But they have. And the reason is that we've gotten away from this Word. And I was pleased that the Inquirer this week did have a story from Bridgeton that the churches defeated prayer. At last they came out and said, it was the liberal churches and the Catholic leaders that spoke out against the prayer in the schools of this country, and the congressmen, a majority of them, listened to them, or rather all, not quite two-thirds of them, they listened to them sufficiently that they were able to defeat the prayer amendment. But the churches, the church leadership, defeated an amendment which would permit the children voluntarily to pray in the public schools of this country. Now that's the impasse to which we've come. And I think the time has come when I realize what Haggai did, when I realize what some of the preachers and some of the prophets of time past, in the darkest of apostasy, God raised up men who spoke, and people responded. The Spirit gripped their hearts, and they had a marvelous revival of the Word of God. And we dealt with these awful things that are destroying us and destroying our society in which we live, and making it fearful for people to go out and be out in the evening. Last evening when we were down in Atlantic City, they said that a couple had been on the boardwalk this week. A man was just shot right on the boardwalk. And you see it. And that fear comes. Well, the only way to overcome that fear is to get the people of God at their task. To get the people of God at their task. And that's to tell men that there's a place where sin can be pardoned. And there's a place where sin can be broken and the power of it can be dealt with by the Spirit of God. And that's what this table represents to us. That's what it represents. And may I say, as I have so many of you here on the Communion Sunday, you families, that you have your children. You bring your children to this church every time you possibly can. Let them sit under the ministry that they're sitting under today. Let them hear these blessed things from the Word of God. They should be here. And they should be here with you on Sunday nights. And we should be here in the prayer services. And we should be here so that our children are having temptations and they're in the midst of situations that you never had when you older people were young. And we've got to face it, because if we don't, we'll lose them. And then what will become? And these are the matters that bear heavy upon us as we sit down at the Lord's table and say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us and undertake for us in the midst of these conditions. If we had the churches of this country preaching the gospel instead of $160 million for this extra special effort, that budget would be cut down by millions and millions and millions. Where you have the fear of the Lord, you respect the police. And where you have the fear of God, you'll see that you will honor the laws and the courts that are about us. And as we go down from God, we come up with all this repressive burden which is upon us so far as our taxes and our finances are concerned. And the pulpit should point these things out to us, and then we should sit together and ask God to undertake for us. It's this type of a stirring that we need when we take the communion. Say, now, Lord, bless us, forgive us, and let us go from this table as thine. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we see these things all about us, and we see how they relate to what we are supposed to do. And we thank Thee that we can come and say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. And wilt Thou bless now this table? Wilt Thou search all of our hearts? And we've opened to Thee. And then we pray that here in the place where we abide, where Thou hast appointed our place of abode, that we shall do our task in the work of Christ. In His name we pray, amen. Now let us turn, please, to this great hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life. It's hymn number 292. We'll sing just two stanzas, the first and the second, or the first and the last. And then the elders will come and take their place at the communion table. God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, beloved, we come in obedience to Christ. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And he is here, and he is in these sacraments. And we partake by faith, believing that what he has promised, he will perform. He met with his disciples in an upper room. He observed the Passover that God gave to Israel when they left Egypt. And he made the transition that in the New Testament, instead of the lamb and its flesh, we would now have bread. And instead of the blood of the lamb, we'd now have the fruit of the vine. He made that. And he said, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth my death. You do proclaim or announce my death until I come back. And so in the simplicity and the beauty and the power of what Christ gave us, we now gather as his disciples, his servants, called by him to live for his glory day by day. And we come asking that he will pardon us all, cleanse us, renew us, and strengthen us, and we can better serve him, which is the prayer and the desire of our hearts. Now let us pray. Our Father, we set aside these sacred elements with this prayer. We know that there's nothing in the bread, there's nothing in the grape juice that has power alone, but only as thy Spirit attends in our hearts do we get the grace. So take out the barriers, take out the hindrances, take out the self, take out the pride, and may we truly say just now, not I, but Christ. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now this is the Lord's table, and we invite you as the Bible Presbyterian Church to join us. Any of you who are here as visitors, if you truly know the Lord and you've made your confession of faith with him and to him, we invite you to fellowship with us. All the children, however, who are not members of the church are not to partake until they have made their confession and been received into the communion of the church. Now the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. our Savior said, I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I know my sheep, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? And who hath been his counselor? And who hath first given unto him that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him for all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. For if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Has anyone been overlooked in the passing of the bread? And our Savior said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." After the same manner, our Savior took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave it to his disciples, and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying,
neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Been served the cup. And our Savior said, Drink ye all of it. God, how excellent is thy name. We thank thee for the finished work and the victory which Christ has won for us. Now may we arise from this table. May we realize that we're living in the midst of a perverse, a crooked generation, and that we must shine as lights. We must carry the gospel. And we ask that thou wilt deal with all of us and show us how we may better serve thee and make our time count in the fullest degree. God bless the families of this church. Bless the entire family of the church. Thou hast given us a work today, a witness to maintain, and a glorious message to proclaim throughout the world. Bless Collingswood, Father. Bless it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And we read that before they went away that they sang a hymn together. And so let's just remain seated, all of us, and sing one verse of Just As I Am, Without One Plea, 477. And then we'll stand as usual and sing one verse of When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. Father, we thank Thee that we have been seated in heavenly places, and that we have entered into the joy that Thou hast provided for Thy saints in the midst of their battles. We're Thy people, O God, and we thank Thee that You've provided for us. Now dismiss the session, dismiss the congregation, care for the pastors, and take care of the lambs and the flock. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory and honor and dominion and power, world without end. Amen. God, how excellent is Thy name. We thank Thee for the finished work and the victory which Christ has won for us. Now may we arise from this table. May we realize that we're living in the midst of a perverse, a crooked generation, and that we must shine as lights. We must carry the gospel. And we ask that Thou wilt deal with all of us and show us how we may better serve Thee and make our time count in the fullest degree. God bless the families of this church. Bless the entire family of the church. Thou hast given us a work today, a witness to maintain, and a glorious message to proclaim throughout the world. Bless Collingswood, Father. Bless it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And we read that before they went away that they sang a hymn together. And so let's just remain seated, all of us, and sing one verse of Just As I Am, Without One Plea, 477. And then we'll stand as usual and sing one verse of When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder. Been seated in heavenly places,
and that we have entered into the joy that thou hast provided for thy saints in the midst of their battles. We're thy people, O God, and we thank thee that you provided for us. Now dismiss the session, dismiss the congregation, care for the pastors, and take care of the lambs and the flock. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep,